Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, coming out of Spokane, Washington. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Yes, Wiffle Bats to all of those Palestinian flag-waving, useful idiots. Most of them don't even know what they stand for.
Well, exactly. They're just following people that are getting paid by Soros or getting paid by Soros themselves. And, you know, just like we were describing yesterday with everything that's going on in Spain, Soros was the first one to go up and talk to the newly elected president. And he is the biggest supporter behind what just happened there. So, I mean, that's no big surprise because we already know that he's got his hands dirty in all of these fraudulent elections, as well as...
Oh, he's proud of it.
I mean, he's everywhere. I mean, that's just... I guess that's what you do when you've got nearly $1 trillion to your name and you can just go into any nation and buy people. You know,
right.
and people in high positions as well. I mean, look at our whole judicial system is pretty much owned by Soros.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, seriously, if you had a price tag on our judicial system, he paid it.
Well, that's for sure. And they're not letting up. But, you know, they're taking some, they're getting wiffle batted back. You know, there's these victories like Argentina. I'm still can't get over that. Awesome that is.
That is, like I said, that's going to be just the first domino in the whole string of dominoes that are about ready to go because as they just took off and led the way, well, we've got a follow-up. Well, we'll get to that after the break.
Yes.
A follow-up, something cool going on in Arizona, as well as something continuing to be just absolutely marvelous in all of this revelation in the election fraud of Georgia.
And but just so, remember, the war is just getting started there on that front, because just like with Trump, this win in Argentina, you know, the globalists are all like, what?
Yes.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
That's right.
You know,
that's
we
right.
missed one. So they're going to be doubling down on that to make sure they can't afford too many of those victories because it spreads too much hope.
Well, and see, that's the thing. That's why this is just going to all it needed was one little spark to set off this huge, massive blaze that is just about ready to get started. And,
that's right.
And so, yeah, we'll get to that after the break.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do the word of the day on this thankful week. We're going to be talking about thankfulness tomorrow.
That's
and,
for sure.
Thanksgiving.
That's right. Yes. Love Thanksgiving. One of the biggest requirements of being a follower of Jesus is to be thankful to him.
Yes.
You know, thankful.
And we have so much to be thankful for.
Everything. Oh, absolutely. Well, okay. So the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday is a continuation of the random turning from Monday, which was John chapter 18, and today we're covering verses 25 through 40, which brings it to an end. And so that reads, starting under the title, Peter denies twice more. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you.
Right.
Then Pilate said to him, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. And that's it. And so, So several fascinating points here that the Bible notes describe. First of all, the praetorium was the residence of the Roman procurator, in this case, Pilate. During the main Jewish festivals, the Roman governor would reside in Jerusalem in order to forestall any possible uprising.
Right.
While plotting murder, the religious authorities were careful not to defile themselves ceremonially. Now, that has a lot of weight. That's an excellent point. While plotting murder,
yes,
they were concerned about defiling themselves with ceremonial defilements.
Right. That's why they were whitewashed,
whitewashed tombs, failing to understand the weightier matters of anything.
Look how clean my hands are.
Right, exactly.
In running water.
Yes.
Now I'm ceremonially clean, but I'm plotting murder in my heart.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Christ was talking about when he was dealing with them.
Right. And that's astonishing too. I mean, especially to think that somebody would be that far lost that they would be so concerned with trivial minutiae, you know, and super concerned about non-essential, unimportant things while plotting murder, which is the worst crime possible, you know, and so that's stunning.
And it's easy to point to back at those Pharisees and go, oh, well, what horrible people they were.
Right.
Well, how many people go to church every Sunday?
Right.
That are ceremonially clean in their, hey, I go to church every, I'm good. But right. What are you plotting in your heart? How many in ministry are plotting things in their heart? Are you a modern day Pharisee?
Right. And they're dressed nicely. They look nice.
They talk,
you know,
right.
The whitewash wall, right? And, you know, especially with all of these recent findings of pedophiles and the people that are actually pedophiles, they look marvelous on the outside.
Right.
They could be models. They could be
successful businessmen.
Model businessmen.
Or leaders,
you know,
in their communities.
Yes, exactly. So the outside looks fantastic, and yet on the inside they're just black as black gets.
Yeah.
You know, and
oh, no kidding.
And especially when, you know, like in the end of this verse here, when they describe, then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And Barabbas is a robber, right? I mean,
right.
Of course.
Murderer.
Talk about people that don't know who to pick. You know, I mean, that's the same thing that we see in this modern era when people vote for Biden.
Yes.
You know, don't pick the guy that's going to save your nation. Pick this other guy, you know?
Because they're blinded by their hatred for
the
right person, or the right, you know,
right.
righteousness sake. You know, there's a, and I want to get to this at some point today, but watching this ceasefire in Israel and what's leading up to this is all of the evidence now that the hospital is just part of the infrastructure of a war machine.
Right.
It's a hospital by pretense. But really, they put a hospital on top of their command and control center.
Right.
So the entire world has been attacking Israel. How dare you attack near a hospital?
Right.
How dare you send troops into a hospital? You know, and their whole minds, Israel understands their enemy and what they're up against. The rest of the world can't wrap their minds around what a hospital is to a terrorist.
Right.
It's a front and it's a cover.
Yep.
To us, it's like sacrosanct. I mean, you cannot right. shoot a bullet toward a hospital. It's the most horrible war crime.
Yeah, and Hamas could care less about the people inside the hospital. It's all about them.
And many of the staff are actually helping.
Yes, that's
so
right.
my main point is here, back to the word of the day, how people will, in this case, this righteous and pure person that they hate, crucify him.
Yep.
Let the murderer go. And that's what, you know, it's kind of this parallel. The more is discovered over in Israel, the more we're learning they're in the right. What they're saying has been true. And people are saying, no, we want Barabbas, back Barabbas, wave the Palestinian flag.
Right. And here you've got the Son of God. I mean, you could
right.
not get the more perfect person that would be more deserving of being let go. I mean, seriously, he's perfect.
We would have been the people that backed him, even though it was unpopular then.
Yes.
Just like we'll back what's right today, even though it's not popular.
That's right. Exactly. Good point. Well, and in the Bible notes also, it describes from verse 32, it says, if the Jews had been allowed to carry out the death penalty, Jesus would have been stoned to death, not crucified. And so that's a fascinating fulfilling of prophecy as well. So talk about
say that again.
Okay.
I want to make sure.
So if the Jews had been allowed to carry out the death penalty, Jesus would have been stoned to death, not crucified.
Oh, good point.
And so, you know, a lot of people, especially Jews who refuse to believe in Jesus, they say, Jesus was just a good politician who went about purposely doing things to fulfill things that he knew were prophecy to make it look
right.
like he was the guy, just, you know, like he was setting everything up and he did everything intentionally following all of this list of prophecies. Well, I'd like to have them explain that one. if he is, basically guilty of blasphemy, they should have been able to stone him to death.
Right.
And so...
But they didn't... They weren't allowed... They said, we can't carry out the death penalty. Only
right.
the Roman authorities can do that.
That's right.
Knowing that that would become a crucifixion.
Exactly.
Right? They wanted him crucified.
Yep.
They were even yelling, crucify him,
well,
crucify
they,
him. Not
they,
just stone
was,
him, not just kill him, but the, crucify.
Well, they know that, first of all, crucifixion is way worse than stoning.
Right.
And just the fact that they know that that's how they kill them anyway. So they're going to be cheering for whatever method the Romans legally use anyway. And so had the Romans not been able to do that, they would have had to have stoned him, because that was what following their laws would have ended up being. So there's one prophecy that absolutely can't be manipulated. And also the fact of, you know, well, the timing, of course, was God's perfect timing, that everything had to happen according to Passover.
Yeah, I would like to do a little deeper study on this sometime. Maybe I'll make a note for this weekend on the Sabbath, because listen to this. They can't put anyone to death. They're asking Pilate to.
Right.
And their answer, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death.
Right.
But then they brought this adulterous woman to Jesus, and they all picked up rocks, ready to stone
right.
her, ready to kill
right.
her, ready to put her to death.
Right.
Right. And so I'm wondering if in the Hebrew or, you know, the Greek, if there is a specific word that points to a type of death.
Well, and that also could have had everything to do with the fact that it was Passover, and they're not allowed to do certain things at certain times during Passover,
right.
especially not on the Sabbath.
Well, they certainly couldn't wait. He had to die immediately.
Instantly, yes. Faster than like yesterday.
Right.
Well, and so that could have something to do with that as well. It would be interesting to delve a little bit deeper into that because Jewish law actually turns out to be very fascinating. I mean, especially like when you bring up the point of the adulterous woman, and then Jesus kneels down into the dirt and starts writing with his finger. Well, all the Jews know that when you write in the dirt with your finger, that means that indicates that you are saying that you are God. And most people don't know that. Christians don't know that, because why would they? That's a Jewish thing.
Yes. God wrote with his finger in several instances. So
right. And then there's also the Jewish law that requires that if you have ever committed that sin yourself, you are not allowed to be on any kind of
jury. You couldn't be a witness against somebody.
You couldn't be on any kind of jury. You most certainly couldn't be one of the people that would be stoning that person to death.
Right.
And so if you've ever done that crime yourself, you were basically prevented from having anything to do with any of it.
Yeah.
And so that was another thing that that the Jews also recognized was he pointing that out, that you who have not done this yourself, you know, you guys aren't even allowed to be here.
Yeah. And there are scholars who make that, it's conjecture, you know, they don't really, there's no way, it doesn't say in the Bible, but their theory is that what did he write? It doesn't tell us what he wrote.
Right.
Most likely it was that law that he wrote. So he not only brought that law to their attention, which made them all drop their rocks and walk away because you couldn't be a witness or carry, you know, that type of a punishment when you yourself have been guilty of it. Secondly, this really probably puzzled them, twisted their brains up, is that he wrote the law with his finger, not a quill, not, you know, and that's, in their world, God writes law with his finger.
Yep.
And nobody challenged that. Nobody came up, but it is just a very, very interesting observation.
That's just fascinating because I love all this stuff that as Christians, we don't know any of that. But the Jews, I mean, they are steeped in all of this stuff. They know this stuff inside and out. And so
these are little nuances that go right over the head of most, you know, Gentile Christians that a Jewish person who, especially if they grew up in Judaism, who becomes a Christian.
Right.
Then all of these puzzle pieces locked together.
They can share all of the stuff that they know that the Christians don't know. It makes it such a rich interaction. That's why I love listening to hear what the Jews have to say about Christianity once they do become messianic.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's awesome. So, so rich.
Yep.
But,
Oh, very good. Well, okay. So this is, we're still in
John chapter 18, verses 25 through 40.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break then. Got that down there, and great discussion as well.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Patriots, well, you stick around. We're going to take a short break here and come back with segment two. We've got some stuff to cover, Israel and voting and some good stuff coming down the pike that we're following. So we'll be right back. This segment is brought to you by TLC Web Hosting, helping to keep your website hosted and protected and on the internet. Check them out at tlcwebhosting.com, and we'll be back with segment two right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
My grandmother used to say, what you don't know won't hurt you. But today, what you don't know can kill you, and I mean that literally. The communists are murderers. Of course, they don't call it that. Whether they're casually shooting individuals who get in their way, or as in the Katyn Forest Massacre in 1940, maliciously executing 15,000 Polish officers and intellectuals. In the words of an official United States Congressional Committee, the Soviet NKVD, the People's Commissariat of Internal Affairs, committed this massacre, a calculated plot to eliminate all Polish leaders who subsequently would have opposed the Soviets' plan for communizing Poland.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We are overwhelmingly listener-supported. We really need you guys' help. I think maybe you just think we're joking, or this is part of our, you know, part of little shtick that you think you gotta say. And it just kind of like, we're serious. We are listener-supported.
Like some of the other people, they rake in like tons and tons of money. You know, like other podcasts.
What are they doing?
I don't know. They're doing something different than we are.
Okay. So anyway, this is, well, you know, this is a great sacrifice. So let me just tell you that. This is a ministry of love. And like most people in ministry, it's challenging. And we are listener supported. We need your help with airtime and all the other costs, overhead, and everything involved in what we do. So if you can prayerfully consider doing that, $5 or $10 or $20 a month, $50 a month, and anything that doesn't take away from your family or cut into your prosperity, but would help us, we'd really be grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Okay, radiofreeredoubt.com is the website, and the tab there is donate to RFR. That's how you can find out the different ways to support us.
Right.
All right. Well, man, we've got voter integrity issues.
Yes, everyone.
Let's talk about that.
Welcome back to Wifflebout Wednesday.
Take that.
The first domino to go down was Argentina, and man, they let the cat out of the bag right after primaries. They disconnected all of their electronic voting machines and threw them out. Yep. This is why Argentina got the guy they voted for.
That's right.
And so right on the heels of that, let me tell you what, that caused terror, a whole huge streak of terror to go straight through all of the communists and globalists, because that has been their cash cow number one button that has allowed them to do everything they're doing. And so they know that anybody that brings up getting rid of these electronic voting machines,
that's right,
is really basically touching the heart of what they're doing. And so here's where it started. This went straight to Mojave County in Arizona, the most corrupt of the most corrupt the states.
No kidding.
And oh my gosh, listen to they flipped out in Arizona when that happened. Listen to what happened. It says, "Our elections are a joke. This is insane. Just one day after Argentina hand-counted 20 million ballots and declared their presidential winner in the same night, the illegitimate Attorney General of Arizona threatens Mojave County officials with criminal prosecution for trying to hand-count ballots." And so the Attorney General, Chris Mays, sends a letter to Mojave County supervisors ahead of today's vote to hand-count ballots. And it says, we hope you will choose not to violate the law, and thus that it will not be necessary for us to consider whether criminal prosecution is warranted." Are you kidding?
Wow.
To hand count paper ballots they're trying to say that would be considered illegal.
Right. You can't do that because that will disrupt our illegal election.
Yes. We're the ones pulling all the illegal shenanigans. How dare you disrupt that?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you could just imagine all the communists who are responsible for declaring all the fraudulent elections, how much this has got them on edge.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Well, and switching over to the progress being made, the great progress being made in the Georgia case right now, it says, we'll just let you listen to what Trump has to say about it.
This is very interesting. Fulton County, Georgia acknowledges in a major consent decree that 3,600 individual ballots were duplicated. 36 batches of them were duplicated. That's a lot of crime. 3,600 votes. That's really a lot of crime. When are the rest of these facts coming out? We're all waiting. This is the beginning of an unbelievable period of time. This is massive voter corruption.
You know, that's putting out a little bit of a ray of sunshine, ray of hope. This is more evidence that we already knew. I mean, it's more evidence coming forward, affirming what we all know.
Right. And it's just like what John Frederick said yesterday in the clip that we were describing about what's going on in Georgia. And the fact that the judges are the ones that opened up this whole thing of looking into election fraud. They're the ones that opened this can.
Right.
And so now they're going to have to just deal with all of the massive amounts of evidence that they've got, that
and
they're going to have to listen to all of it. They're not going to be able to close it down because they opened the can. And first of all, this 3,600 ballots is nothing compared to what Mike Lindell and his team found during the election real time.
That's right.
They were tracking all of this real time, and there was
you could see the numbers flip right in front of them.
In a matter of 2 seconds, there was a vote loss of over 180,000 votes in just a click. They were gone, and then the next click, a couple seconds later, they reappeared for the other candidate.
Right.
And so 3,600 ballots is nothing compared to what they did electronically.
That's right. The electronic voting machines have to go away at all costs.
Absolutely.
At all costs.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, we all remember there being warehouses, huge. Remember that Georgia warehouse with over 2 million ballots sitting there that
right.
they didn't count, and they just left it open. They left the doors unsecured. Remember that part?
Yes. And more ballots showing up, and just like this recent evidence, with duplicate ballots.
Yep.
Duplicate ballots and evidence in Maricopa County with these ballots. Ballot harvesting there in combination with the electronic voting machine issues.
Yep.
It's rampant. It needs to be brought under control. And we've seen victories like we just saw in Argentina. What happens when you get rid of them? The Patriots get their country back.
That's right. Don't let it stall either.
That's right. Well, guys, join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. If you're commuting to Grandma's house, you'll be able to listen to Radio Free Redoubt Thanksgiving morning. Join us then and be safe.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.